This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This Christian McCaffrey thing is...
I just looked. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Three-time Pro Bowl, two-time All-Pro, Offensive Player of the Year, 2023. But what's the bar?
I think you got to hit 10,000 yards as a running back.
Let me see. And, I mean, he's in the middle of his career, I would say. How many... He's kind of like I said, Patrick Mahomes. He's closer to the end than he is the beginning. But how many yards does he have, Jesse, if you got that in front of you?
CMC?
Yeah.
He's a little over 6,000.
Yeah. It's
the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is an important distinction, right?
Yeah.
It's an important distinction between the Basketball Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
So yeah, I think Stanford for running backs, in here. I think for running backs, you got to be minimum 10,000 yards to get in the Hall of Fame. Minimum to be thought.
I'm trying to see some. This is kind of crazy. So I'm trying to figure out like what the comp would be, and I'm on the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website. Just Hall of Fame running backs. The last running back. The most recent running back to get in that I see, unless I have this wrong, is Marshall Faulk. Isn't LT in here too?
Marshall Faulk went in this year, no?
So LT hasn't gotten in yet, huh? That's a long time. You know,
LT's in.
Okay, because I don't see him on this list. I thought
I got him on Pro Football Reference. He's in.
Okay. It's been a minute though. Like even LT, that's a while ago. That's like what 12 years ago. A running back getting into the Hall of Fame. So I don't know if the criteria might have changed.
Did I get that right? Is Marshall Faulk in this class?
I don't know. He's already been in, I'm sure.
Who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Sterling Sharp, I think. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's a good call. But here, I'm looking at it. I mean, I'm trying to think of, let's see, recent guys. Obviously, LaDainian Tomlinson, he was a no-brainer. Adrian Peterson isn't in yet. Is he eligible yet? I don't know, but he'll go in. But after that, they may have to rethink how they put in Hall of Famers.
Yeah, you just honorary running backs of the Hall of Fame. No one else ever gets in again. You're gonna have to stand out like Derrick Henry. You can't be putting in a guy who he ran the ball first and second down, but get subbed out on third. Like, you can't have that guy.
But it doesn't...
Then you can't have the guy who's getting the ball on third down.
Yeah, like it's got to be a Derrick Henry time.
But that almost to a certain degree, like, doesn't tell the whole story of it, right? Like, because I'm not saying he should be a Hall of Famer, but do we remember...
Well, CMC
the
also
weapon
has...
...that Todd Gurley was?
Yeah, but, like,
Todd Gurley was crazy.
CMC has no accolades either, though.
Not that long, though.
Like four seasons, three seasons.
Yeah.
See, if CMC was like a perennial all-pro or whatever, fine. But yeah, he doesn't even have that.
Yeah, he might not make it. But I don't know what running backs do then, moving forward. Not saying he's the bar, but like, how do you accumulate?
Well, Saquon is someone who's, I think, on that path.
Yeah, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Not yet, but I think if he kind of continues, like if he has like a few 1,500-yard seasons going forward and stuff like that, and he kind of is able to keep the longevity, like he can get in the Hall of Fame. He's got Hall of Fame talent.
He can, but that's not the way they do things no more. Like history,
they
tells
do for Saquon though. Like Saquon's different. Saquon, they like he put the team on his back, like 2,000 yards. That's different. CMC, I don't think has ran for 2,000 yards or anything like that. Like Saquon, that's different. That sets himself apart.
Didn't he just have like the all-purpose touchdown record?
All-purpose is not.
A year before? Like he went like 30 straight games with
that's not rushing for 2,000 yards though. That's, we're talking about run, like rushing. Like that's the thing right there for running backs. That's what sets yourself apart from everyone else.
I don't know, but I don't. But the way they play football and the way they do these running backs, like Saquon does not have. I don't know.
I think he could be though, because he's different from everyone else. Like, he is one of those pure-type, Derrick Henry-type running backs, where it's like, give him the ball and he'll make a difference.
Derrick Henry going to get in. So that's one of the recent guys to get in. He'll get in. And Saquon, I mean, I think Saquon should be a Hall of Famer. Like, regardless if they fizzle out and all this other stuff. Like, I was there. I lived it. I watched him. Like, that's a Hall of, that's one of the best players to ever play the game. I feel the same way about Christian McCaffrey. I was there. I watched it. Now it's different because Saquon got a championship now. But even Todd Gurley to a certain degree. Oh,
but they got talent. Yeah, he's got talent, but you need the accolades. Like, you can have all the talent. It doesn't matter, though.
Le'Veon Bell was one of the best pass-catching backs in the league.
I wouldn't say he was Saquon, though.
I always say this, and this isn't fair to this man. I apologize to this man, but...
We getting Emmitt Smith out of here?
No, hell no. Anybody remember an Aeneas Williams moment?
No. Like, play for the Cardinals?
Cardinals and Rams, and can't remember one play of his career, one stat, one anything.
He's a Hall of Famer?
Actually, the one play he ever made is he ended Steve Young's career.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Hall of Famer. And he's looked at as like one of the best corners ever, which he probably is, but it's like I was there. I don't ever remember seeing him play. Whereas Todd Gurley, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon, like I was there.
Different positions, though. Like the quarterback is almost built to be invisible. That's right. Why Deion's so special,
right? But some of that, I believe, some of that is I was there. I saw the impact he had on the game. The stats don't match up with what you think they should for a Hall of Famer, and cornerback is different. But I was there. I watched them. I think that's how they should start forming their opinions of running backs.
Okay,
but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Allegedly, 126 million people watched the Super Bowl. So, yes, a game that was absolute trash, that had no intrigue after halftime, got more viewers than last year. Now, context is important. Previously, now the NFL won't share this with you because they want to puff their chest out and say, oh, look, you guys said the game was bad and all of this, and 126 million people watched it. The markets used to be measured by the top 44 markets. Now it was measured in all 50 states. Also, I believe for the very first time, Super Bowl was free on Tubi.
Mm.
So even if you were a cord cutter, you had the game free somewhere.
Yeah.
And that inflated the numbers quite a bit to the point where we get to this $126 million people number.
I feel like we're at a point where WWE in this number a bit.
Somehow is still 7 million less than people who watch Kendrick Lamar at halftime. And the only thing that I can figure out here is there were 7 million people who were like, F this game, but I'm tuning into KDOT, so I'm logging into my Tubi account to watch Kendrick Lamar's performance, and then I'm going to immediately turn it off and not catch a single second of the second half.
Also,
well, the 7 million, it was people who tuned in, like, those new viewers, or like just, 7 million left after?
They said
no,
126 million watched the game, 133 watched Kendrick.
Got it, okay.
And then, I'm gonna figure out what the NFL is doing. I swear I'm gonna figure out one.
You're on to something. If I find out the NFL is behind Tubi, I wouldn't be surprised.
Because then, I don't, like you said, all the people, there's 7 million people that said, I'm not interested in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to a Super Bowl party, like, nothing. But I'm going to turn it on for Kendrick and then turn it off.
There are 7 million DJ complexes in the world. Complex had, he didn't care who was playing. Complex couldn't have less of an interest in sports. We are Complex's greatest connection to professional sports. He has people texting him, hey, 3 minutes till the half's over. Log in and watch Kendrick Lamar. He goes to his Tubi account. You're telling me there are 7 million of those people? Hey, I'm a Kendrick fan. I'd love to puff my chest out and say, ha ha, look what he did. The math don't work here.
How many, 7 million is a lot, but how many people do you think tuned in because they were more tuned in for Drake versus Kendrick? Like, it wasn't just a Super Bowl halftime show. That was a lot of the buildup, so, I think, to so seeing if he would diss Drake and all that.
I believe the people that are interested in that are interested in football.
Yeah, 7 million
additional viewers?
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, 7
million is still a lot, but I'm wondering if that could be something where it's like, all right, maybe you're more tapped in with music. It's like, all right, let me see what Kendrick does for this halftime show. I could care less about the Super Bowl.
Now, one thing that is possible, more devices logged in.
Potentially.
So yeah. I don't know if this streamed on Apple Music or not, but there could be people who were maybe at a Super Bowl party that was noisy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull it up on my phone, put it in my earbuds. Mm-hmm. And again, to think there were 7 million of those devices is crazy.
We got two. Will Z said, didn't turn it on until halftime, was watching Unrivaled. Other James, right, didn't watch it for a second, tuned in for Kendrick.
Okay, we got three.
Got it, yeah.
All right, can we track down everyone else? We got three. We're off to a good start.
If you feel the criteria here, please get in the chat house and let us know.
Please, let us know.
But the math still ain't mathing because more people watched the game, right? Like, than last year.
Right.
So the number went up, but like it gets fuzzy because the number of people who watched the game went up, but then even more people didn't watch this year and then just tuned in for the halftime.
Yeah.
Well, that don't add up.
This is just WWE math.
This is absolutely WWE math.
Keep it real. They break the record every year.
This is Mean Gene Oakland. Yeah. 93,173.
I feel like these.
Give yourselves a round of applause.
It's almost not significant. Just like I said, they just do it every year now.
Where are they at this year? Wrestling? WrestleMania?
Vegas.
They gonna break a record?
They'll break the Allegiant Stadium record.
We'll get a combined WrestleMania viewing.
93.
And The Rock will probably come out to announce it.
I hope he doesn't.
There's 123,000 people. No, Rock. People bought tickets to both nights. God damn it.
He's
why
out
you guys
there
do
pointing
this?
At his stupid ass forearm with the goosebumps.
Probably
thing.
Forgot the yeah. number and had to look at it written on his wrist.
With them, how do you not already break that record? They've already broken it, right?
What record?
The 93, right?
They broke it. I think they legitimately broke it in Dallas. Like,
yeah,
I think there were 100.
I was just thinking, like, how did Dallas
were
110 people
yeah.
in that
yeah,
place?
Yeah, there were 100,000 people, and I think there were legitimately 100,000
people. The first time
or
the second
Dallas.
Time in Dallas?
Had they been to Dallas twice?
Because they went to Dallas the first time with the red, white, and blue joint, and then wasn't McAfee versus McMahon, wasn't that in Dallas too? And Cody's return?
Was that Dallas? Really?
I think it was.
I'd imagine both of them did then. I'd imagine both of them. The first one definitely did because they had been waiting for that one for a while. But that's where The Rock came out, made that stupid announcement, and then wrestled like Eric Rowan and beat him in like 8 seconds with the Wyatt family.
That was Roman versus Triple H that night.
Oh,
that's
your boy. Yeah. Your boy, Hunter.
Trips.
Hey, he's still got to take a loss. I don't care if he can't wrestle. Go finger poke a doom or something.
That loss is never coming, buddy.
Somebody on one of the little Twitter websites just randomly tweeted out, this still pisses me off to this day, and they played the video of him beating Booker.
The villain they make Shawn Michaels out to be?
Oh,
that's,
Triple H beating Booker, yeah.
Triple H is the villain they make Shawn Michaels out to be.
Yeah, that's a shoot.
Yeah, he's the real bad guy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the build-up to that Booker T match.
Yeah, they was like this. And I wasn't around, so I didn't really understand the outrage. But so random, like, I just randomly think about this and get pissed off. Yeah, people were upset. Even the crowd didn't even react any type of way. They were like, they were almost through. It was almost like Hell in a Cell. The Fiend Hell in a Cell
man.
Joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Super Bowl, I'm looking at you. If these numbers go up next year, bro, I'm calling Cap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that right now.
You can call Cap today. Yeah, this like as soon as I saw that, I was like, no. That game last year went to the final second of overtime. The final second of overtime, and you're telling me more people watched a blowout loss than that.
Yeah, it's not math.
Lies.
I turned the game off after Devontae Smith scored his touchdown.
Lies.
Just like Russell Wilson.
Also,
Joel Embiid.
Where are all these TVs coming from?
That's what I'm saying. Everybody be having parties.
Kenny's house?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's about 30 right
that's
there.
Only one
point.
Of them were on in my house. Because I wasn't home.
Kenny's been complaining about the NFL numbers all these years, and he's the one who's been keeping them up.
Look, just like Russell Wilson, Joel Embiid, Super Bowl rating, NFL rating.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Numbers. One of these, and Shaedon Sharpe, one of these days, you guys will say, Kenny, you were right.
Me and Dame were talking about Russell Wilson and Joel Embiid.
Fam.
We were. Everybody remembers it. Look.
I can create the audio to prove it.
Why do you... This game isn't... This what we do, it's not about being right and wrong. We're just having conversations. It's all right.
Talking sports with the guys.
Jesse and I were on the right side of the issue. We were on the wrong side. It was fine. It was fine.
I hope you guys are listening to
this. We damn near pleaded with this, man.
We got some day ones. I'll call in. Day ones, call in and have my back in this situation.
They can't. Defend me right now.
They're working right now.
Yeah, they're working.
Everybody has time to call and have your back, Ken. Jeez, we'll come back. Jason Jones will join us. We'll see what he thinks about these Super Bowl numbers. What he thinks about. I keep thinking. I haven't talked to Tris. I forgot. I had to leave early last Tuesday. I didn't get to talk to. What was Jason like last week?
Did we talk to Jason last week?
I wasn't here, so I remember I had to leave last Tuesday.
Maybe I remember we rescheduled because of a trade.
Well, I don't know. We're going to talk to Jason next on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Shout out to Brian Windhorst for standing up to Stephen A. Smith.
Uh-oh.
Stephen A. Smith was talking about signing Dwight Howard, and Brian Windhorst was like, dude, you can't be serious. Talking about the Lakers. The Lakers signing Dwight Howard. He's like, you can't be serious. Like, he's been retired so long, he's going to the Hall of Fame. And Stephen A. tries to, like, make this pitch for it. And Windhorst goes, well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a free agent. Why don't you sign him? Stephen A. goes, oh, is that what we're doing? That's what we're doing, Brian. That's what we're doing. Oh, you could tell Stephen A. didn't like that. Stephen A. did not like that.
I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world either. Who do you think is better right now, Alex Lynn or Dwight Howard?
Alex Lynn.
Yeah, I don't know about Dwight.
The Lakers Dwight Howard thing is people holding on to what he did in the bubble.
Alex Lynn, he couldn't play on this team.
But he did. Alex played on this team.
And people were saying this is like the worst statistically
said that.
We've seen all year in his career.
That's that damn Jill Adge. That's what she
Minor
said.
Details.
Yeah.
But Dwight, he's not playing at all, right?
Yeah, like,
he was in another country. He's not playing now. He was in, was it Taiwan?
Yeah, Taiwan. And,
was it a year ago
DeMarcus
he was over there?
Was, where was DeMarcus? Mongolia or something?
Yeah,
he was in some random place. Yeah, but I don't feel like Dwight's played in over a year. How old is Dwight? How old do you think Dwight is?
I think he's 38.
I'm going to go 6
years old.
Dwight needs to go buy himself some podcast equipment.
Dwight's 39.
Oh, yeah, he's done. Wow. No way.
Dwight's 39 years old.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd sign a 39-year-old.
Let's see, here he is in 2002. He looks like $1 million. He looks great. This picture.
Newly engaged as well. Shout out to Dwight. Congratulations.
Really?
Like in the last 2 months or so.
All right.
Congratulations. They're in order.
Congratulations, Dwight.
When he was in Taiwan, he turned into like Klay Thompson. Remember that? He was like shooting.
I did. Oh, man. Jason Jones going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Anxious to get his thoughts on the Super Bowl. We were just watching Luka highlights. Like, Luka wasn't exactly spectacular last night with the Lakers. And it just, he just looks like he's moving in slow motion. Even when he's in the air, it's just like he's like, laying, bucket, fouled, and one.
It just works.
Every time.
It just works, man.
Every time.
He's special. I am interested in how this plays out. Like, I don't think there's a reason to, like, I don't think you should have traded him, but keep saying it. I understand the thought process. Like, he's not going to make it. He's never going to take it seriously. The things he needs to do, and
you
don't get better with that. Like, you could do it at 25, but I'm about to sign you till you're 32 years old. What is 28, 29, 30 look like? If you don't believe he's ever going to get it, that would be your reasoning. Once again, I'll continue to say, I'll just have to go down with that ship, and I would have signed him. But the reasoning isn't crazy.
you...
What if you're just wrong, though? Because, I mean, like, Nico Harrison literally traded for a guy who was already out for a month.
No, he probably could be wrong. But I'm just saying, like, let's just say he doesn't take it seriously.
Let's bring in Jason Jones.
Does that ever get better?
I think,
like,
it's
the injuries, the knacks, all this.
I think the Luka stuff is overblown. I don't think it's as bad as they say. Like, he was just in the finals. If he's as bad, like, logically, if he was as bad as he was, logically, it doesn't take you to the finals last year.
Do we have to bring up Brian Windhorst's?
That's fine. That's fine.
He was right.
What did Brian do?
Well, he was talking about what the finals when Brian Windhorst laid into Luka Doncic and the way that he plays defense and him being out of shape and all of that. And the discussion we were having was because they were showing Luka with your Lakers there last night at the big celebration for Luka's debut. And I just thought it was his first game since Christmas. Like, he looks like he's moving in slow motion. Even when he's in the air scoring, doing spectacular things that no one else in the league can do, it looks like he's moving in slow motion. And KC was making the argument that he would have traded Luka too because he thinks he's fat and he sucks. So he would have traded him. He's Team Nico.
That's not at all
what, what he really was saying was, yeah. Like, I get the argument. He looks like he's out of shape. You're about to sign this $300 million deal. If he doesn't take it seriously, like, this thing could go ill halfway through.
He already looks different from 5 years ago.
He does.
I don't care.
No, I still do it.
No, I agree. And look, if I'm Rob, yeah, I'm going to take that chance.
Yeah.
Just like if I was Nico, I should have took
and
that
all
chance.
I got to send is this guy who can't play anyways?
Right.
Shoot.
I feel bad. My hunch is that AD rushed back too fast trying to, you know, I'm going to show, you know, and yeah, now I don't know how long he's going to. Yeah, poor. I feel bad for the guy.
Mm. Yeah, that's tough, man.
That's their problem.
You know, one of the things that we kind of talked about was Nico being at that game last night, fans getting escorted out. Like, Mavs fan, I don't know how you recover from this as a Mavs fan. Like, I couldn't imagine, Jason, you grew up on, you know, the 80s Lakers, or just, like, hell, Kobe. Imagine if they traded Kobe. Like, the Lakers traded Kobe willingly. They'd be like, bro, this would be like, something to drive me away from fandom if my favorite team did something like that.
Like, the Lakers willingly had 25-year-old Kobe and called, like, I don't know, called, I can't even think of a comp. I don't know, like, they would call, like, San Antonio and be like, you know what? How about for Tim Duncan? That's not even a fair comp to say Tim Duncan, because Tim Duncan, AD is not Tim Duncan, but even then, San Antonio would have hung up the phone. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a, like, that had been, I mean, because there's the whole age part of it, too. Mm-hmm. It's like trading 25-year-old Kobe for 31-year-old Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Or 31-year-old Kevin
Robinson
Garnett.
Or something like that.
Hey, we got, you know, we got, it's like, hey, we got Magic Johnson over here, you know. How about you give us that David Robinson guy for him straight up? Mm-hmm. And we'll throw in Byron Scott. I mean, I can't really think of a comp, just because part of the comp has to be both guys are like all NBA type players, mm-hmm. but one of them just took you to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's crazy out there. I mean, I started getting old back when things got ugly with the Maloofs type vibes with the fans.
Mm.
Talk about, you know, type of signs you can bring in to the arena. Now, if I was Nico, I just wouldn't show up.
He can't. Yeah, he can't. His pompous-ass owner is showing up, but Nico can't.
It's like, come on, give me a break. He shouldn't need extra security over the trade.
Mm.
I mean, come on. These folks is fighting don't even know Luka.
You know Nico, right?
I think I've probably come across him back in the day, but I wouldn't say I know him.
This was 100% Kobe's guy calling Kobe's guy, feeling like he's the only person in the whole league he could trust to try to execute this.
Yeah. And
Kobe's true legacy right here. This trade is Kobe Bryant's legacy.
Kobe's true legacy is that he ended up even not even being on earth facilitating a deal for Luka.
Yeah, right. Right. That's influence. Forget Jordan. Forget LeBron. Kobe got Luka to the Lakers.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. And then they kept showing that whole picture of his last game was a Lakers-Mavs game. This stuff is like out of the movies. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, it's just, like I said, you know, fan on the fan cam, fire Nico.
Yeah.
He gets removed. Man.
That's crazy for throwing him out for that, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, he didn't even, like, do anything vulgar.
He didn't threaten him. He didn't say, I'm coming down to your seat.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, and it's almost like what they don't realize, you're only making it worse.
Yeah, right.
Because now it'll be a badge of honor to get thrown out of a Mavs game for saying fire Nico. Like, they can't even do fan cam anymore. People are going to be like, I'm going to do it next. Hey, you can't throw us all out.
Yeah,
right.
No, you're going to throw everyone out the game now who doesn't like the decision. Yeah. You know, but it only plays into that whole conspiracy that, I don't believe it, but the whole conspiracy that they're trying to make the team terrible so that they can have a reason to move it.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I don't buy that. You know, the tin foil hat people right now are going, connecting the dots. I'm like, aha, see?
Yeah, because Nico don't care about that. What's Nico care if this team is like, he loses his job, he's out of the league.
Right. Yeah.
He's the guy who's traded Luka Doncic. Like, nah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to, it'll always be attached to him.
Yep.
No matter what he does. I mean, the only way that ever gets fixed is they win championships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, but yeah, just the fact that AD's already hurt people out there are probably mad.
That's tough, man. That's tough for AD. Like you said, I think he did kind of rush back. I was. Obviously, it looks like he'll be okay, but I would worry maybe Luka rushing back. I think both of those guys should have waited until after the All-Star break. Like, what are you coming back now for with a couple of days before you get a break and then you ramp back up? I thought they both should have waited until after the All-Star break.
Yeah, but I think if in the Lakers' case, you basically had a scrimmage last night. They're playing Utah. I mean, get him out there, let him scrimmage.
Well, with that said, though.
And they play Utah again, so it's like,
everybody always plays Utah and Washington.
How many times do you play Utah?
Utah and Washington. That's all these teams play. Well, we got to play OKC and Denver and all these other guys.
Well, we got the Pelicans twice.
Well,
chill now. You know, you're playing. I don't.
Who plays? Not exactly the time to throw stones right now.
Yeah, I don't even know who plays for the Pelicans right now.
CJ McCollum.
Well, Zion does. There's 70 points right there.
CJ sees the Kings and he's like, I think I'm Steph.
no forgiveness in his heart, man. Forgiveness. Man. Yeah, but I mean, Jazz or not, your boys have won 9 of 10. Like, are we at the point where we're talking about the Lakers like a contender? Like, we start talking about them in the West?
I'm not quite all the way there yet, you know, but I'm way better than last year. I mean, way better than your coach having his hand in his pockets while the team goes on a 20-0 run.
Damn, Darvin.
Oh, man.
Damn, Darvin. Man.
Just standing there like, wow, what's happening? Wow. We're down by 8. I guess I'll call a timeout now.
Oh, man, Darvin. Come on, man.
You know, and now we get, you know, we're going to get Kings legend Alex Lynn down in L.A.
That's your boy. That's 56 boy.
Yeah, I like Alex, you know, so yeah, you know, Kings legend Alex Lynn, you know, should have been Kings legend Luka, you know, it's just, you know, it's popping down in L.A., you know, it's popping, you know, I won't say they're back, but, you know, I'm feeling okay that they won't be in the play-in this year.
One of the things that we talked about last week and you know, kind of like, you get Luka, but it might not be good this year or anything like that. And then we saw the game against the Clippers. Luka wasn't even playing. But me and Damian said the same thing after we saw that. It was like, yo, LeBron, that franchise, or they look like they just got a jolt of energy. And it hasn't stopped. Like, and then Luka actually played. I said, oh, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. They look like they got a jolt of energy.
Luka out there grinning. LeBron out there, like, just giddy. I mean, it's like it gave him a jolt. Like, you know, just a jolt of energy, you know. I think all of a sudden a guy like Jackson Hayes, who's not exactly what you would call a starter, he's like, I'm going to get 10 points off a lot, you know. You know, they can run action where it's either Austin. No, Austin's the number three facilitator now.
Austin.
And he's having a good year. So, I mean, and then you got Dorian Finney-Smith. You get Vanderbilt back. You're getting, you know, some of those defensive-type guys. Gabe Vincent is back to being the guy who got to help Miami get to the finals. So, I mean, some things are coming together for him. I wish they could have kept Max Christie, but, you know, hey, it is what it is, you know. They got Dalton Connect back, even though they weren't planning on having him back. My man went from the Lakers to last place in the NBA back to the Lakers. Then Charlotte issued that crazy statement about, we didn't want him, we didn't want a trademark, but the other team was so aggressive in pursuing him. You know, that's gonna be fella's line. Like, I didn't want to holler at that girl, but she was so aggressive and sued me, I had no choice. I didn't want to do it, but she was just aggressive. And then Trey goes through, they go to the league talking about make them take the guy now.
That doesn't – a rescinded trade, this doesn't happen very often, does it? I've never heard Charlotte doing what they're doing, but
– Yeah. The last time I remember it happening, honestly, was the – was rescinded was – remember back in the day, Robert Horry got traded to Detroit?
Yeah, wasn't that after he threw the towel in Danny Ainge's face?
No, that was before. He got traded to Detroit from Houston, I think.
Okay.
Or something like that, and someone failed physical – Yeah. Then he ended up in Phoenix, and then that's when he threw the towel. And
was it, you know, that was for Otis Thorpe, wasn't it?
It was something like that. Yeah,
Otis Thorpe was supposed to go to Houston.
I forgot what it was, but yeah, Robert Horry had a rescinded trade. So I mean, but yeah, you don't see that often, because usually if you know a guy has bad medicals, but you want to make the deal, you just waive the, you know, you waive the physical. My guess is that they told him, yeah, he's got this and this, but he's cool. Then they get him, and they're like, oh, my God, you got this, this, and this. And I think if it wasn't past the deadline, maybe you just renegotiate the terms.
Wait a minute. We got this is great. Someone wrote an article on the top five rescinded trades.
Oh, wow.
The Houston Rockets acquired Sean Elliott from the Detroit Pistons in 1994 in exchange for Robert Horry. However, the Rockets rescinded the trade after Elliott had failed his physical.
Yeah, Sean Elliott. That's right.
Danny Fortson, shout out to our man Stanley.
Stanley, what up?
In 2000, Tyson Chandler to the Thunder. Danny Fortson was traded. Let's see. The Raptors sent Alvin Williams and Sean Marks to the Boston Celtics in exchange for Danny Fortson. However, the Raptors rescinded the trade after Fortson failed his physical.
Well, big Danny Fortson, that's, yeah. I'll just leave it there.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Number one is Chris Paul, huh?
I remember the Ori one.
Well, that's not rescinded.
True.
That was just, nope, this isn't happening.
True.
We speculated whether David Stern was alive if he would have gotten the note about the Luka Anthony Davis trade. He'd have been like, no. Just
trade him to the Clippers.
Just, no,
trade him to the Clippers.
Absolutely not.
Do you know how that works, Jason? Like, what is the first point of contact with the league? Obviously, I guess it used to be a fax, but like, how does that work now?
What made the David Stern one different was that, remember, the Hornets didn't have ownership. So David Stern was acting as their owner. And so that what made that tough, like, I know, you know, Dell Demps thought he had the authority to run the team and found out he didn't. You know, and so I think, I forget. Yeah. So now, I'm imagining how it goes now is, you know, you get, because remember, I would say you have to have the trade call. After you agree to it, you have to have the call with the league where you go over the terms and make sure everything matches up line for line, you know, salaries and all that before it becomes official. And usually the stuff is just, you know, it's like semantics when you get to the call. You know, if you get into the trade call, you're normally not backing out or anything crazy like that.
The first official, like, the NBA is that call, like the three-way call, and the NBA takes down all the notes, and then – that's when it's
pretty
official.
Much essentially, you know, and what made it funny was that with Dallas, there was a fan who was protesting saying, see, it's Sunday. the NBA office can't open until Monday. See, we can still veto this trade. I'm like, no, this is, we're in 2025. They can do a trade call anytime now. It's ain't like back in the day where you had to like fax stuff and you can do that almost anytime now you want now.
That sounded like, this ain't funny, but that sounded like when people were like, you know, the Electoral College, they don't have to vote the same.
Well, that's true.
Legally, they don't have to.
Somebody like, find them. Tell them no.
Just do this, you know. Cross our fingers. We might be able to make this work.
It's a done deal, guys. It's a done deal.
Now, I had never seen so many. This has been a really interesting trade deadline.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd say so.
That's the word I would use. Is interesting.
Very, very, very interesting.
What you think about Jimmy Butler? On the Warriors, we're just kind of, I think Jesse just asked us, you know, can they be like a real contender now with Jimmy Butler on that squad?
I don't know if contender? Contender for what, to make the playoffs?
Win it all. Come out the West.
No. I still don't see it.
I got to watch them. I haven't watched the Warriors game since he's been there. I want to watch him, but I don't think so.
I can't say win the West. No. When I look at that team, I mean, their only option is to play a team. Their best probably option is to play a team where everyone's 6'5 and they're 6'6 and under, which is cool until you run into a team with someone 6'8 who can actually play. I mean, like, their version of small ball, say they're playing a team like Sacramento. Sacramento normally, you know, say before the deadline, it's a little different now. But before the deadline, there aren't many times people would say, Sac has the advantage in physicality and size. Mm. They're a much bigger team than the Warriors now. Mm. You know, so I just can't see. I mean, they're still giving Buddy Hill rotation minutes, you know. You know, when that could be good or that could be crazy. You know, I just think they're too small. I just think they're too small of a team overall. And I think Jimmy helps them in late game situations now that you know that they won't just be, okay, we need Steph to save the day. I mean, that's a pretty hefty financial commitment to Jimmy Butler. How old is Jimmy?
36.
Yeah.
That's a big, it almost screamed, like, what did somebody at that one meme when they said, the Warriors were that team at the club at 1:58 a.m. They were going to get something before 2. They was leaving with somebody.
No, they did it.
Yeah, they was calling about everybody.
They were. Yeah, they sure were. Well, that's fine.
They was a brother on a Saturday night just hard up on his luck wondering if his ex might just pick up the phone. Hey, how you doing, KD? It's been a minute. What's up? I'm just thinking about you. How's your mom doing?
Yeah, boy. How's your mom doing?
That boy KD said, nope. Nope. He got the Warriors on his phone as do not answer.
Yeah, he said you got the same little bad kid at the house? Nope. I'm not playing with that kid, no. I'm not dealing with that kid no more. That kid hit me last time and I can't hit him back. No. Nope.
He told won't come back. He told his mom, Shams, like, let them know, stop calling. I don't want anything to do with them.
God, I've moved on. I thought you were happy without me. You know, we had our time. It's over.
We joked. We got all our jokes off about Jimmy and Draymond. I ain't even think. Wait till Jimmy get a hold of Prime Buddy.
Oh, man.
Wait till Buddy jacks up a 33-footer with 20 seconds left on the shot clock.
And they're down one.
Oh, man, give me that.
How many bad Buddy shots have altered teams? That was like the downfall of Dave Yeager. I mean, we saw Harrison Barnes lose his cool for like the second time in life. I mean, GP3 wants, like, GP2 is like trying to choke him. I mean, like,
it's still my favorite Tyrese moment when he throws the ball up from half court with like 7 seconds left and Tyrese chases it down, puts it back, turns around, makes the shot, turns around and looks right at Harrison. What the F was that?
And Harrison goes, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. You're right. I want to see Jimmy. If Jimmy was annoyed by Andrew Wiggins, and Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh man.
Oh, that, yeah.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing till Chavano goes Chavano on you.
You know it's bad when somebody just like, I don't know, man. What are you gonna do?
Well, no, it's even funnier. He tracked down the ball, got the shot, like got the points, and his first instinct was to turn around. What the F was that? Oh, poor Harrison, brother. The senator, had no answers. Like, I don't know.
You just got to live with it, bro.
Harrison's going to go, I'm going to read a book or something. I can't do this.
Can't deal with this, dude. What do you think about the numbers that came out? I know you wrote about Kendrick's halftime performance today. Casey and I are kind of looking a little side-eyed at some of these Super Bowl numbers where they say 126 million people watched that nasty game with like no intrigue whatsoever, and then the halftime numbers come out with 133 million, I think, watch Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. We'll start with the numbers, then get to the performance. You buying these numbers that the NFL put out today in Apple Music?
I never know with the numbers. I just never know. So I mean, I take them for what they. I do believe there was a. I believe a lot of people watch to see what he do. Not like us. I think there was a certain curiosity level to it, you know. But I don't know what the numbers mean. I mean, I don't know if it's watched. You know, they say it's watched live, and they say, well, it's the most watched thing on YouTube. Like, is that people watching it over again? Is this unique view? There's just too much into it. But I don't know what to believe. I really don't.
Well, I just put two and two together. I saw Vince McMahon there. Vince McMahon might have pulled Roger Goodell's side and
this
said,
is how you do it.
Let me tell you how to do this. We've been doing this for years.
This is how you do it.
Just
first off, there's 90,000 people at this game.
Yeah, that's right.
There's 93,000. What there are.
Yeah. So, well, Vince, it only sits 70,000. Like,
nope.
Don't worry about it.
93,172.
We added extra seats that you can't see that are obstructed.
That's right. It's got to be 93,172 because this is an Andre versus Hogan.
Did you guys know there is an obstructed view seat in there the is. Superdome?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wonder how much that went for.
A grip.
You can only see like half the field or something like that.
Somebody paid for it.
I do not want to be in the building that bad. What did you think of the performance? I know you wrote about it over in the New York Times.
I'm a big old fan, you know.
What's the whole thing say?
Oh, put up on the desk. Yours is on the way. You want one, right, Kenny? You want one?
I mean, sure. You're going to give it to me. I'll wear it. I ain't got no problem with it. Not you guys. I don't hate either one of these guys.
He could wear his Drake jacket over the top of it and support both of them.
He could wear with an OVO hat.
Yeah, well, he's got an OVO jacket. Oh, you got a hat too?
I don't have a hat. No,
you got just
the
jacket.
Although they got those other OVO, like the sports teams Letterman jackets. Those things is fire.
No, I'm sure that's
like
the next joint.
Either way, I wouldn't want a bird on like my Raider jacket. Like, why is this bird here? Why is there a bird on my Dodger hat? Like, I don't understand why this bird is here.
I don't know. It looks good, though. It looks good. The Knicks one is my favorite. They have a Lakers one, too. But the Knicks and the Bulls one is kind of fire, too. But the Knicks one is fire.
Yeah, I'll let you get that, I'll let you get that. But, you know, I'll see if they got any more of these left in that Luka jersey you asked me about.
Didn't ask anybody for no stinking Luka jersey.
Okay. It's okay. I mean, we won't out you, but yeah, you know.
What'd you think of the performance?
I enjoyed it. You know, I think this is one of those things where if you're in tune with, you know, Kendrick and you're a hip hop head, you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of people who didn't like it because they were like, they didn't want to think that much. They're like, I don't, you know, like, why is Uncle Sam here? I saw some very conservative people who were confused, who thought it was a very patriotic performance. They were like, look at this. He's got red, white, and blue. The women are covered. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
And that I was like, you thought he was saluting America? This is great. Like, I mean, the number of people who were just lost, you know, and the way I figured, I've sat through plenty of Super Bowl halftime performances where people I didn't know or didn't care about. So whatever. Yeah. You know, I think people But I thought it was creative. I thought the whole video game thing was mm-hmm. cool. I think anytime you can get Samuel L. Jackson involved in anything, that's going to be cool. You know, and I know Sam probably wanted to cuss, you know. I love the Serena part.
Yeah, Serena killed it.
Yeah,
I didn't really understand what Sam was there for.
Other than to be
Uncle Sam, yeah. Like I didn't
a
really
black Uncle Sam.
So. Yeah, I think he was there
from to kind of narrate the tension between culture.
Yeah,
you know. Like, yeah, don't do that. You're too ghetto.
That's right. It's really glaring. Like, okay, he's telling a message here when he goes into, like, I think he came out of Squabble Up and went into Humble, and he was like, no. Don't do that. That's too ghetto. You know,
and then when it slows down, he's like, there we go. America wants nice.
Yeah.
Now, don't you mess that up. And then he goes into 40 Acres and a Mule.
Yeah.
I said, I was just amazed at how uncomfortable it made people. And I think, I thought, because normally the Super Bowl halftime, you go with your nostalgia, your guaranteed mm-hmm. hits, mm-hmm. the songs everyone knows. For him to lean into the new album like that,
mm-hmm.
I think part of it was probably, part getting ready for the tour. That was probably the gutsiest part of it all to me, was that if he had come out and done, DNA, Humble, Swimming Pool, mm-hmm. All Right, just leaned right into all the popular stuff, all the stuff, did that. No one would have thought that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he kind of took a chance. Like, he opened it with Bodies, and I was like, what song is
this?
That's
crazy. Yeah, that was nuts.
I said, hold up. I said, which one is this? I had to go back. Oh, that's Bodies. Like I said, he took some chance. I enjoyed the show.
Which isn't available, by the way. The record's not out. That's the snippet record, right?
Yeah, the snippet record. But I thought it was a really L.A. show or a West. I think that part where they did Man in the Garden
mm-hmm.
and Peekaboo, that was like, to me, it was a very Bay Area part of it. The way, I said, I see the dreads and the grills, and they were, I said, that was a nod to the Bay. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a very L.A. West Coast show. And the one thing I will push back against, no, Lil Wayne could not have done better. We did not need to see Lil Wayne with his styrofoam cup up there mumbling and about to fall off stage. No one needed that.
There's no need to disrespect Lil Wayne's catalog.
I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying that.
To the table. I thought Kendrick is an artist, so that it wouldn't have been that for Lil Wayne. Like, he's not the artist that Kendrick is. I thought Kendrick did a really good job. I'm one of the people who a couple of songs on the set list I wish were different. I wanted to hear All Right. I wanted to hear All Right in front of the president. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be like perfectly clear. This is what I'm saying. There were things, little Easter eggs about the show that I ain't afraid to admit. I didn't get the first time. Then I went back, read up on it. Oh, okay. I see what he was doing there. And it changes the perspective of the show a little bit for me, but I thought he did a really good job, man. I thought he did. What I expected. I expect a certain level of quality from Kendrick Lamar, and he delivered on that.
And I think if you've been to one of his concerts, his concerts are stories.
Yeah.
And at the end, and I think this is the first time I've ever heard of a Super Bowl halftime show sparking conversations between parents and children. Like, let's sit down and discuss what that means. I thought on so many levels it was dope like that, because, that's the hip hop I grew up on. I grew up on, the Chuck D's and stuff like that. The early Ice Cube, that type of stuff, where sometimes you would listen and be like, well, he's saying, there was symbolism. We had fun too, but I thought that's what I really enjoyed it. So, like I said, to me it was in a lot of ways it was a kind of like throwback type hip hop with the messaging, and like you looked at the guys who liked it, they were like, no, Chuck D liked it. Mm-hmm. Jermaine Dupri liked it. Those people were like, that was dope. It wasn't, it made you think. And I think a lot of, and if we're being honest, most people don't want to think. And if that's why people were uncomfortable. I know people told me, I didn't like it. I don't want to think. I'm like, that's cool. Everyone has their preference, but someone said it was the worst halftime show ever. I'm like, no, it wasn't the worst. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the worst ever.
I'm pretty sure Coldplay was a halftime show once.
Yeah, they did give us Maroon 5 one year. Didn't old boy take his shirt off during the show?
Mm.
And like, to some people, Coldplay was dope. Like, it's cool. Like, if you're not big on that genre, if you're not big on hip hop, that you're like, I wasn't feeling it. Like, cool. It wasn't necessarily for you. Like, it's cool. Like, you may think U2 is great. I'm not interested in their music. That doesn't mean, because I'm not interested, that doesn't mean they're not good at what they do. You know what I mean?
And it doesn't mean it was a bad show. Yeah. What struck me was that, from what I was just seeing, the type of people who were offended, and it made me say, you know what? So you can watch a game where this is the culture of the people you watch and say you love and you support. I love, you know, Saquon Barkley, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I love Jalen Hurts. I love these guys. But a part of their culture that may be important to them that they enjoy turns you off so much. Like, it's just disgusting to you. And I'm like, I've sat through so many different shows where I didn't have a clue what was going on. That didn't make it a bad show. That didn't mean I hated the people who performed. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? If Coldplay is performing, you know, I'm like, okay, it's Coldplay. I've heard them, but
that's don't make a sandwich.
I always tell people, everything in sports is optional. You don't have to watch. You don't have to sit through the show. Like, you knew before the show started, you weren't a Kendrick Lamar fan.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you found out halfway through, oh my God, this is a real black show. Like, you knew what this was going to be. I don't think any of us expected like a very pop friendly show from Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'm like, yeah, if you were mad, no big deal. I mean, I've gotten up and left, you know, before. I'm like, all right, I don't want to listen to this. You know, but I enjoyed it. I'm admittedly biased, but I enjoyed it. And I like to think I can enjoy all genres of music. So I saw a lot of fake outrage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God, I couldn't understand a word he said. I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. But like I said, I thought it was well put together, you know, good show, right. You know, and then there's so many little like Easter eggs and things, you know, and thing is Kendrick never actually speaks on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he lets us sit on the internet and all debate what everything means.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you, Jay, as always. That article, by the way, is over on The Athletic right now, Jay. We appreciate you. Thank you, my brother.
It's got a gang of comments on it. Apparently it's made people happy or mad. So.
Oh. Congratulations. That's the reaction you want. Yeah. Give me one or the other.
Exactly.
Don't give me any difference.
Before I go, hey, Kenny, the Dodgers hired some advisor dude. If they used to
goodbye.
Work for the Giants.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
I don't know
who it is. He was sent there to destroy the franchise, and he did the job.
But you're wearing that hat today, so I had to say something.
Appreciate you, Jay.
All right, Jay. Y'all. Take it easy.
He had to get one in. Daniel Gafford out 2 weeks after that.
Get well soon, man. That was yesterday. Tough to see him. I'm glad it's not worse.
Looked a little rough. We appreciate you for being with us. Jesse's making us end the show. We're going to head over to 102.5. We'll see you guys here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Michigan, light the beam? No.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you love your phone but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.